Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for you, for who you are, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, you are good, and you're good to us, even though we don't deserve it. We pray now, Lord, that by your grace, you would speak to us. Lord, that we would hear from you this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear, hearts that are open, ready to receive, that you would be glorified in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Insights into Victory. Now, as we'll see today, just as King David has had his enemies that tried to destroy him, we have an enemy to deal with, an enemy that would love to destroy us. David's enemies were both outside of God's people Israel and sometimes within Israel. You know, it's kind of similar for us today. It's very similar. Sometimes our enemy, the devil, will influence people both inside and outside of God's people, the church. And sometimes those attacks from the enemy will come just in the form of temptations to sin. And we can't deal with every particular type of attack that we may face specifically today, but instead we'll get some insights from David's victories here in chapter 14. And I believe that they will help us with all of our trials, no matter what they are. Now, some of you might be thinking, you know, well, wait a minute, we already have victory. You know, you might be thinking about like Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Or 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, those things are true. And yet if you're thinking, well, see, we already have the victory because we're in Christ and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of every born-again believer in Jesus. And so, you know, we don't really need to hear about the rest of the stuff. We already have victory. So my question then would be to you, if you're thinking that way, so we already have the victory because we're in Christ. Are you saying that you always are victorious in every trial that you face? You never mess up, you never stumble, you never sin. Don't forget what 1 John 1:8 says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all still struggle from time to time, don't we? We all still stumble. And the question that comes up a lot of times is the victory that we have in Christ automatic? Just by virtue of the fact that we put our faith in Jesus? Or do we need to do something or change our thinking or change how we live? We've seen over the last couple of months on Wednesday nights over and over again that we're saved by grace through faith. God's grace. You know, that undeserved favor that we cannot earn, that we don't deserve. God extends that to us through faith. When we put our faith in Jesus, he applies his grace to our lives. He applies the death of Christ to our account, cleanses us, makes us righteous. And every born-again believer is in Christ. That's our position. You can't get any better than that. You can't do any better. But what we live out day by day, what some theologians refer to as practical righteousness, For today, we could think of it as that practical victory. That's different than our positional righteousness, isn't it? Every born-again believer in Jesus is positionally perfect. We're standing in the righteousness of Christ because it has been applied to us. And we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And folks, again, that position cannot be improved on. Every born-again believer, because of all that, has the potential for daily victory in our trials, in our temptations, any attacks that come our way. And all of that's because of what Christ has done. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, he's given us everything that we need to be victorious. Through the knowledge of him is one of the things mentioned there. And the only place to get accurate knowledge of Him, of Jesus, is the Word of God, the Bible. And His divine power, that same divine power that has given us His Word, also lives inside of us, inside of every believer in Jesus. So we have all we need. So why do we still fail? Why do we still stumble from time to time? I think oftentimes it's because we haven't invested the time into the Word of God to know all that He has for us. Or we fail to practice what we know. That happens a lot too, doesn't it? Because, you know, disobedience to the Lord, ignoring what He has shown us, that will cause us to lose that victory in those battles. The things that God wants us to have to give us the victory, He's given to us. We just need to appropriate these things. And so let's see if we can pick up some insights into victory here in 1 Chronicles 14. Now, we saw last week that David was installed as king of Israel. Look at verse 8. Now, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. So right away, the enemy of God's people, here the Philistines, after receiving word that David is now king, they go to Israel to search for him. And no doubt, they want to kill him before he has a chance to organize his army and his kingdom. And you know, that's a lot like the way our enemy operates today, right? When someone first becomes a born-again believer in Jesus, before they have an opportunity to get their lives organized, to line up with the Word of God, and practice His Word as a habit in their life, the enemy will attack. We're all familiar with that, huh? However, 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us of something. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is so good. You know, even when we're brand new in the Lord, we don't know nothing from nothing. He is screening, you might say He's screening our calls. He's screening those temptations and trials that come our way. And just as we'll see here with David, God will never allow circumstances beyond what we can handle with Him. And that's an important thing. We're in Christ and we have to live in Him. And even though David might not have his whole kingdom in order, God knew he could handle this attack by the Philistines. David hears about this and he starts to head out into their direction. He knows he's probably going to have to battle against them. They're probably going to attack a city to draw him out so they can kill him. So he's heading that direction. Verse 9, then the Philistines went and made a raid on the Valley of Rephaim. They attacked this area of Israel just as David thought they would, which is just a few miles southwest of Jerusalem where he was. And now for us, even though the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, is much greater than he who is in the world. We just sang that, right? Much greater than the devil. We all need to allow the Lord to give us victory by surrendering daily to God's will, as it's revealed in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Don't miss this. Since Christ will lead us in triumph or victory, that implies we're following Him. We got to follow. If He's going to lead us, we've got to follow. And folks, we can't be wandering around on our own, doing our own thing, and expect to have that victory that He wants to give to us. That victory is going to come by following Him. With that in mind, look what David does next in verse 10. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. See, even though David was a warrior, and remember, he was experienced as a commander of God's army, of Israel's army under Saul. He led that army lots of times. David doesn't assume that he knows exactly what to do right here in this situation. You know, a attack like he normally would, go out and go get him face to face, or if he should do something out of the ordinary. And I think this is important. If anybody had the skills, if anybody had the experience as to what to do, it would be David, right? We talked about it before. This is a rough and tough dude. And people had a lot of regard for him as a warrior. But he wants to make sure. He wants to make sure he's in the center of God's will. He wants to make sure he's following the Lord. So he goes to the Lord and he inquires. He seeks the Lord. Should I go up against him? You know, should I meet him head on like normal? Or do you want me to do something different, do it in a different way? And understand, folks, God will sometimes lead us to do something out of the ordinary. We see it in Scripture all the time. And you think about Exodus, right? Moses leading the children of Israel out. Well, it was actually God was leading them, and Moses and Israel were following the Lord. They were following. Remember, cloud by day, fire by night? And where does God lead them? He does something very out of the ordinary. He leads them right in to the Red Sea. Here's all the children of Israel, man. They can't go anywhere. They cannot escape from the Egyptian army. And so they're trapped and all that. And then God, through Moses, tells them in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall again see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" See, God led them to a place where they had to depend on him. They had to trust him. And Moses comforts them. It's really the Lord comforting through Moses. And he tells them, hey, watch God work. Okay, watch what God does. And you know, God will do this with us. He'll lead us to a place where we got to depend on him if we'll let him. And God did fight for them, right? We studied it a couple years ago. You know, God parts the Red Sea. The children of Israel walk across like on dry land. And as soon as the last Israelite hits the shore on the opposite side, and I'm sure a lot of them were looking over their shoulder as God allowed the Egyptian army to follow them into the sea, right? And I can imagine if I was, you know, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, it's like, well, they're going across. Well, if the walls are going to, you know, stay up like that, the water's going to stay like that, and they're going on dry land, let's go get them. We'll take advantage of that too. And I'm sure there were people in Israel looking over their shoulder going, they're gaining on us. They're going to get us. Oh, no, what are we going to do, right? But as soon as that last Israelite hit the shore on the opposite side, boom, man, the water collapsed over on the Egyptians, and they never saw those guys again, just like God told them through Moses there. So you think about it. That's very out of the ordinary, right? Any kind of leader would never lead his troops or even defenseless people because they weren't soldiers at this point. They didn't have an army. They don't have weapons. Leads them to a place where they couldn't escape. But God does that so he can show them, you can trust me. I'm fighting for you. I'm here. So sometimes God does work in different ways than we would ordinarily think. So instead of automatically attacking like most kings would, like we often do, you know, make our own plans and then ask God to bless them, David doesn't do that. David seeks the Lord. Shall I go up? Will you deliver them into my hand? Is that what you want me to do? Verse 11, so they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. God delivered the Philistines into David's hand, just like God said he would. gave David victory over the enemy in a very normal or natural way. God was working, God was moving supernaturally, but to all the eyes, it looked like, well, you know, we just whooped them. That's it. Yeah, we beat them. Well, David and his army went down and fought and won, but it was God who gave them the victory, and David recognized that. He named that place where God did this, where God gave them the victory, Baal Perazim, which means master of breakthroughs. See, the way that David overcame the Philistines, David and the army of Israel, was like a dam or a levee breaking and water comes rushing out. We all know what that's like when a levee breaks or something, right? Tyson back there, his property was flooded a few weeks ago when we had that big rain. A levee broke and just flooded the place. Looked like he built his house in the middle of a lake. But that's the way David saw God operating and busting through the Philistine army. And it was like a dam burst. It was like a levee burst. We just overflowed. We got him. Awesome. God, you did this. And then verse 12, and when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment and they were burned with fire. See, the Philistines that weren't killed in battle left their little idols behind. They dropped everything and ran for their lives. David, wanting to follow the Lord, wanting to follow the word of God, knew that he was supposed to destroy those idols. Israel had been told concerning those things of the pagans in that area back in Deuteronomy 7, verse 5. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. See, in burning their carved images, David protected himself and his men against a future defeat, a very different kind of defeat. See, if they got into idol worship, if they picked up those idols and said, check this out. Now, how did they worship this idol kind of thing? We've talked about some of the ways that were really enticing about some of these idols that enticed Israel to worship them. But if they did that, David knew that God would destroy them. And we saw that at the end of 2 Kings, didn't we? It's a lot like what God tells us to do in our lives. You know, we may not be in a culture that has a bunch of little carved images and idols and all that, but there are those things that if we pick up along the way that can lead us to a catastrophe, really. So in Romans 13, 14, we're told, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. See, we've got to first put on the Lord Jesus. We got to get saved. We got to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. You know, but then after we do that, after we're saved, we need to get rid of those things, anything in our lives that would make it easy to fall back into sin. It would make it easy for us to go back to living a life that doesn't please God. Whatever that is, we got to get rid of it. Now, God gave David and his men an awesome victory, and no doubt God has given all of us some victories in our lives. But let me warn you, don't get too comfortable. You may have won some battles, but the war's not over. Look at verse 13. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. I remember hearing a story of this little old lady. She was known for always saying something positive, always saying something good about the people around her. I mean, she could say something, find something good to say about just about anybody. And some young man once said, you know, I'll bet you could find something good to say about the devil. And she responded, he's persistent. And folks, he is. After the devil tempted Jesus with those three temptations that he was victorious over, in Luke 4:13 we read, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he did departed from him until an opportune time. See, just because you have a victory in a battle doesn't mean the war's over. It doesn't mean that you can let your guard down. The devil will attack again when it's a better time for him, not for you. See, when it's a more opportune time for the enemy. So here's another attack by the Philistines. Same enemy and in the same location. Now, we're not told, but the Philistines might have learned something from that last battle, from that last attempt to kill David and the Israelites. And they might have cooked up a trap. We don't know. We don't always know what our enemy is up to, right? We don't know what he's doing. We know generally what he's up to. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we know he's seeking somebody to devour, to eat up. And he wants to eat up you, your family, your relationships, your careers. He wants to devour those things. He is a destroyer. But we don't know the specifics of the next attack, how he might devour us. We don't, but God does. And so God tells us, hey, be sober, be vigilant. And does David assume that he's to handle the attack just like the last one? You know, well, it's the same people. It's the same area. God had him go out and fight the last time when the Philistines attacked, you know, just go right into him, get him. But that doesn't mean that this is God's will for this battle. So important for us to remember that. We got to be led by the Lord. We got to follow him. We got to seek him. David doesn't assume to know God's will for this battle. So verses 14 and 15, therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So it's a different tactic. Different tactic for a different time. I'm so glad that we don't serve a cookie cutter God. Isn't that awesome? He works inside of us, and we're so very, very different, each of us, right? He knows us intimately, though. And he doesn't say, well, you know, this is how I worked in their life, and so I'm going to make it fit for you, even though it's not really going to fit. You know, I'm going to have you do this, and you're going to have some problems. It was easier for them, but it's going to be hard for you. He doesn't do that. We got to follow him. We got to seek him. And he will lead us in the exact way that we will get victory in our struggles, each of us as individuals. See, God doesn't have us handle every attack the same way because the enemy's tactics change, right? 2 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know from the Word of God, the enemy doesn't always attack the same way. Sometimes it's a direct attack, kind of an in-your-face thing. Other times it's more subtle, more deceptive, more cunning, not as obvious. I bet you some of you were thinking about, well, yeah, I remember when there's seminar. I did not see that coming. We've all been there. You've been blindsided by stuff. That's why we need to be sober and be vigilant. But God never changes, folks. We need to make sure we remember that. He never changes. His character, his nature never changes. But his tactics or methods do sometimes. He'll never lead us into sin. His methods for victory will never be contrary to his word, the Bible. Whatever he leads us to do will always be consistent with his word, and it'll be consistent with his nature. You know, sometimes when we're attacked, the Lord will lead us just to not say a word. Just stand there, shut up, and take it. Other times, we're to speak out the word of God. We're to correct or rebuke or even to encourage others while we're being attacked. But like David, we've got to inquire of the Lord. We've got to seek the Lord, which starts with prayer. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Then, after we prayed, after we, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Then we need to prayerfully seek him in his written word. Go to the word of God. Are there verses that speak exactly to what you're going through? Or maybe there's places in the Bible that will give you a biblical principle that can be applied to your specific situation. Psalms 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, the more of God's word we hide in our heart, the more we memorize, the more of it we understand, then when we get in the pinch, it's there. And we can, oh, you know what? I read a couple weeks ago, God says this about that. Man, boom, get the victory. And something not mentioned, but is obvious by David inquiring of God, is that David was humble. David humbled himself before God. He died to self, as the scripture says in the New Testament. He didn't rely on himself, on his experience, on his tactics, on his understanding of being a warrior. He didn't do that. Instead, he went to the Lord for direction. He relied on God because, you know what? Father knows best. Go to him. And so God tells him what to do. And did David resist that direction? Did he even hesitate? No way. Look at verse 16. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Huge victory. Understand, he chased the Philistine army, the survivors of the Philistines. He chased them 15 miles. Now, that's a long time on foot. That's a long ways, right? And not only does God give David and Israel the victory over the enemy, because David sought the Lord and obeyed God's direction, but because David did that, God blessed David on top of the victory. Look at verse 17. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Because David's fame spread like that, many people within Israel were eager to follow him as their king. And in fact, there were a lot of Gentiles that came and wanted to live among the Israelites and be one of David's subjects and would follow him. Because of these victories, the surrounding nations also were a lot less likely to attack. Man, you don't want to mess with him. God fights for God, and God fights for David and Israel. I'll get it right. We all want victory in our lives, don't we? I mean, nobody, no, I want to get defeated every day. I don't think anybody here would say that. We all want victory, folks. It'll always come. That victory will always come by following the Lord, doing what we see David doing, you know, doing what Jesus himself did, going to the Lord, following him, going to his word, responding correctly to the word of God. I mean, you think about Jesus being victorious in every one of those temptations. When you go back and you read it in the Gospels and you see how Satan tempted him, every time Jesus came back with, it is written. See, he came back with the Word of God, and he was victorious because of it. We've got to hide God's Word in our hearts. Folks, with every temptation, we've got to be able to say, it is written. You know, this is what God says. We need to read God's word, to memorize it, to study it, to know how to apply it. And then, folks, we need to do it. That's what we need to do. And you know what? Step by step, he'll lead us. We sing a song like that, right? But we got to follow him. He'll lead. But we have to follow. That's our part, to walk where he walked, walk the way he walked. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Folks, that's where the victory will always be found. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, in it, we see how you want to give us victory. We see what you have supplied to us for the victory. Father, we want to pray right now that you give us the wisdom, Lord, to do what you have called us to do, to take your word, apply it to our lives, to seek you daily, to follow you, and to follow you closely. Lord, that whenever temptations, whenever attacks would come, Lord, we would be so close to you. We'd be walking the way you walk. And Lord, that we would use your word as you did against the enemy. Father, help us to be sober. Help us to be vigilant. Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.